Okay, covering Bible Answers class, and shall we pray? Heavenly Father, we thank you for the privilege of being in your house today and studying these questions that people face today. And I pray, Lord, you'd bless our study in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, we've been talking about, should a Christian dance? You know, there's so many people today that claim to know Christ and seem to be intoxicated with the things of the world, whether it's drinking or dancing. And so we're reminded in John 8:34. Jesus answered them, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is what? The servant of sin." So we looked at some other examples, a couple examples so far from the scripture about dancing. Whether it's Miriam and the ladies dancing after crossing the Red Sea. And in that instance, it was all ladies, so that's not like the normal modern dance today. Then we looked at last time the dancing while Moses is up on receiving the Ten Commandments. And so he came down and found the people dancing and worshiping the golden calf and their nakedness. And that is like the modern dance of today, the nakedness and the idolatry there. So let's look at another example here in Judges 11. Judges 11. Trying to look at these examples of dancing in the scripture because we have so many Christians today who try to justify beginning to dance. So they're out there, well, at their weddings. You know, they have receptions, they drink and they dance. They drink alcohol and they dance. So in Judges 11, in verses 30 through 40, it says, "And Jephthah vowed a vow unto the Lord and said, If thou shalt without fail deliver the children of Ammon into mine hands, then it shall be that whatsoever cometh forth of the doors of my house to meet me, when I return in peace from the children of Ammon, shall surely be the Lord's, and I will offer it up for a burnt offering. So Jephthah passed over unto the children of Ammon to fight against them, and the Lord delivered them into his hands. And he smote them from Aroer even till thou cometh to Minnith, even 20 cities, and unto the plain of the vineyards with a very great slaughter. Thus the children of Ammon were subdued before the children of Israel. And Jephthah came to Mizpah unto his house, and behold, his daughter came out to meet him with timbrels and with what? Dances. And she was his only child. Beside her, he had neither son nor daughter. And it came to pass when he saw her that he rent his clothes and said, Alas, my daughter, thou hast brought me very low, and thou art one of them that trouble me, for I have opened my mouth unto the Lord, and I cannot go back. And she said unto him, My father, if thou hast opened thy mouth unto the Lord, do to me according to that which hath proceeded out of thy mouth. For as much as the Lord hath taken vengeance for thee of thine enemies, even of the children of Ammon, and she said unto her father, Let this thing be done for me. Let me alone 2 months, that I may go up and down upon the mountains and bewail my virginity, I and my fellows. And he said, Go. And he sent her away for 2 months, and she went with her companions and bewailed her virginity upon the mountains. And it came to pass at the end of 2 months that she returned unto her father, who did with her according to his vow, which he had vowed, and she knew no man. And it was the custom in Israel that the daughters of Israel went yearly to lament the daughter of Jephthah the Gileadite 4 days in a year. So as we go back to verse 1 of this chapter, what we find here is this vow and this dancing is done by a worldly man's daughter. Verse 1, Now Jephthah the Gileadite was a mighty man of valor, and he was the son of an harlot. And Gilead begat Jephthah, and Gilead's wife bare him sons, and his wife's sons grew up, And they thrust out Jephthah and said unto him, Thou shalt not inherit in our father's house, for thou art the son of a strange woman. Then Jephthah fled from his brethren and dwelt in the land of Tob, and there were gathered vain men to Jephthah and without with him. So we see this man whose daughter danced, this man is a worldly man. He gathered vain men unto him in verse 3. And then if you go back down to verse 30, so this is the type of family life that his daughter had. She had a dad who gathered with vain people. He had the wrong kind of friends. So verse 30, and Jephthah vowed a vow unto the Lord and said, If thou shalt without fail deliver the children of Ammon into mine hands, then it shall be that whatsoever cometh forth of the doors of my house to meet me when I return in peace from the children of Ammon shall surely be the Lord's, and I will offer it up for a burnt offering. You know, so many times people that really are not close to God think they have to make great vows of things just to get God to do something for them. Like, you know, it's like people today say, I swear, Lord, if you'll get me out of this mess, I'll go to church every Sunday, or, you know, I'll do this or I'll do that. I swear, Lord, I swear I'll do it if you'll just do this for me. We know as believers, we don't have to make oaths like that. God wants to answer our prayers, and we don't have to do things. So it's a worldly man, and now thinking he's got to make these great oaths. I don't know what he was expecting to come out of his house. I mean, today, someone may think, well, the first one to meet me out of the house is my dog. Well, you wouldn't offer up a dog to God. That wouldn't be pleasing at all to him. So I don't know what he was expecting to come out of his house, but he makes this rash vow. So he's a man who walks with vain people. He made this very rash vow. And in verse 32, it just ruins a wonderful victory, all these things. So he fought against the Lord in verse 32. He was victorious. And so verse 34, he comes back to his house, and behold, his daughter came out to meet him. Now, some people think that Jephthah actually offered up his daughter as a burnt offering to the Lord, which would have been an abomination unto the Lord. But I think the context here is that what he was doing was offering her to the Lord in the sense she would never marry because of what it ends. It said in verse 38, well, actually verse 37. She said unto her father, Let this thing be done for me. Let me alone 2 months that I may go up and down upon the mountains and bewail what? My virginity. So what is she bewailing? Her life? No, she's bewailing her virginity that she'd never have children. Now, when you the next four words, it says, I and my fellows, you may think, oh, wow, she grew up in this home with this vain father, and now she's going to go be immoral for 2 months upon the mountains, her and her fellows, before he sacrifices her. Well, the next verse, and he said, go, and he sent her away for 2 months, and she went with her companions and bewailed what? Her virginity. Once again, she's bewailing her virginity, not her life, but her virginity. So in verse 39, it came to pass at the end of 2 months that she returned unto her father, who did with her according to his vow, which he had vowed. And what does it say then? And she what? Knew no man. So she's bewailing her virginity. Now she comes back, and her father does with her as he vowed. And it says, and she knew no man. So she was not for 2 months being immoral on the mountains. she was doing now. Her dad fulfilled this vow. And what was it? She knew no man. And why then in verse 40 did they, the daughters of Israel, go yearly to lament her? Well, because in the scripture, you know, today it's with abortion and immorality, it's like people don't want children. A lot of people do not want children. But in the Bible, you'll see when women could not have children, whether it's Hannah wanting a child so bad and finally getting one from the Lord, calling him Samuel, Sarah couldn't have children, and so she gets frustrated and gives Hagar to her husband. Rachel couldn't have children, and so, you know, she's, give me children or else I die, she said to Jacob, her husband. So that's the context here, is he made this rash vow. Whatever comes out of my house is the Lord's, and so his daughter never married. Now that's the context. There's a lot of people who believe that he sacrificed her for a burnt offering, but that's not how the context is at all about what happens. It's her virginity, that she can't have children, that she would never get married. And that was a very difficult thing. So here's another instance of dancing. And we have a worldly man, so a worldly family. And man, she comes out of the house dancing, and it turns a victory into great sorrow that day. Let's go to another instance of dancing in the scripture, Judges, once again, this time, chapter 21, Judges 21. So we're looking at whether a Christian should dance in the modern sense. Now, with Jephthah's daughter, I mean, that was not the lustful modern dancing. I mean, she just came out with dances to meet her dad, but we're just trying to look at all the examples of dancing. But in Judges chapter 21, and let's start in verse 4, Judges 21 and verse 4 here. And it came to pass on the morrow that the people arose early and built there an altar and offered burnt offerings and peace offerings. And the children of Israel said, who is there among all the tribes of Israel that came not up with a congregation unto the Lord? For they had made a great oath concerning him that came not up to the Lord to Mizpah, saying, he shall surely be put to death. And the children of Israel repented them for Benjamin their brother and said, there is one tribe cut off from Israel this day. How shall we do for wives for them that remain, seeing we have sworn by the Lord that we will not give them of our daughters to wives? So the context here is that the men of Gibeah were very wicked and immoral. They were Sodomites, and they had come and wanted this one man to abuse him. And so where he had gone into that home, the man offered his daughters, but then they end up giving this man's concubine to these perverts, and they abused her all the night. She came to the threshold of the door in the morning and died there. And so when this man left the house, he found his wife dead, concubine, and he divides her into 12 pieces, sends a piece of her to each of Israel. So all of Israel goes to war against the tribe of Benjamin here. And the Benjamites, instead of getting these wicked, vile people from Gibeah, they defend them. But in verse 11, Judges, let's see here. Okay, I'm partly in chapter 20. I guess let's go back to chapter 20 here. And verse 4. should have been reading some of these verses here first. Verse 4, chapter 20. And the Levite, the husband of the woman that was slain, answered and said, I came into Gibeah that belongeth to Benjamin, I and my concubine to lodge. And the men of Gibeah rose against me and beset the house round about upon me by night, and thought to have slain me. And my concubine have they forced that she is dead. And I took my concubine and cut her in pieces and sent her throughout all the country of the inheritance of Israel, for they have committed lewdness and folly in Israel. Behold, ye are all children of Israel. Give here your advice and counsel. So I should have read those verses just as a background. So then in verse 11. So all the men of Israel were gathered against the city, knit together as one man. And the tribes of Israel sent men through all the tribe of Benjamin, saying, What wickedness is this that is done among you? Now therefore deliver us the men, the children of Belial, which are in Gibeah, that we may put them to death and put away evil from Israel. But the children of Benjamin would not hearken to the voice of their brethren, the children of Israel. But the children of Benjamin gathered themselves together out of the cities unto Gibeah to go out to battle against the children of Israel. So they were wicked. So there's a great battle. Let's go down to verse 46, chapter 20, verse 46. So that all which fell that day of Benjamin were 20,000 men that drew the sword. All these were men of valor. But 600 men turned and fled to the wilderness unto the rock Rimmon, and abode in the rock Rimmon 4 months. And the men of Israel turned again upon the children of Benjamin and smote them with the edge of the sword, as well the men of every city as the beast and all that came to hand. Also they set on fire all the cities that they came to. So only 600 of Benjamin are left at this point. And now in chapter 21 of Judges. In verse 1, Now the men of Israel had sworn in Mizpah, saying, There shall not any of us give his daughter unto Benjamin to wife. And the people came to the house of God and abode there till even before God, and lifted up their voices and wept sore, and said, O Lord God of Israel, why is this come to pass in Israel, that there should be today one tribe lacking in Israel? It came to pass on the morrow that the people rose early and built there an altar and offered burnt offerings and peace offerings. And the children of Israel said, Who is there among all the tribes of Israel that came not up with the congregation unto the Lord? For they had made a great oath concerning him that came not to the Lord to Mizpah, saying, He shall surely be put to death. The children of Israel repented them for Benjamin their brother, and said, There is one tribe cut off from Israel this day. How shall we do for wives for them that remain, seeing we have sworn by the Lord that we will not give them of our daughters to wives? And they said, What one is there of the tribes of Israel that came not up to Mizpah to the Lord? And behold, there came none to the camp from Jabesh-Gilead to the assembly. For the people were numbered, and behold, there were none of the inhabitants of Jabesh-Gilead there. And the congregation sent thither 12,000 men of the valiantest, and commanded them, saying, Go and smite the inhabitants of Jabesh-Gilead with the edge of the sword, with the women and the children. And this is the thing that ye shall do. Ye shall utterly destroy every male and every woman that hath lain by man. And they found among the inhabitants of Jabesh-Gilead 400 young virgins that had known no man by lying with any male. And they brought them unto the camp to Shiloh, which is in the land of Canaan. And the whole congregation sent some to speak to the children of Benjamin that were in the rock Rimmon, and to call peaceably unto them. And Benjamin came again at that time, and they gave them wives, which they had saved alive of the women of Jabesh-Gilead, and yet so they sufficed them not. And so they still don't have enough wives for all these men. Well, if it was me at that point, I would say, forget it. But they have this idea about the 200 that were still left. And verse 16. 21:16. Then the elders of the congregation said, "How shall we do for wives for them that remain, seeing the women are destroyed out of Benjamin?" And they said, "There must be an inheritance for them that be escaped of Benjamin, that a tribe be not destroyed out of Israel. Howbeit, we may not give them wives of our daughters, for the children of Israel have sworn, saying, 'Cursed be he that giveth a wife to Benjamin.'" Then they said, "Behold, there is a feast of the Lord in Shiloh, yearly in a place which is on the north side of Bethel, on the east side of the highway that goeth up from Bethel to Shechem, and on the south of Labona. Therefore they commanded the children of Benjamin, saying, 'Go and lie in wait in the vineyards, and see, and behold, if the daughters of Shiloh come out to dance in dances, then come ye out of the vineyards, and catch you every man his wife of the daughters of Shiloh, and go to the land of Benjamin.'" Can you imagine giving such advice, saying, "Hey, these daughters are known to come out and dance in dances, so you go grab one and go back to your land." I mean, that's kidnapping. That's abducting people. And what did they say? "And it shall be when their fathers or their brethren come unto us to complain, that we will say unto them, 'Be favorable unto them for our sakes, because we reserve not to each man his wife in the war, for ye did not give unto them at this time that ye should be guilty.'" Unbelievable. Just, yeah, well, get over it, you know. These perverts stole your daughters. Just get over it. "And the children of Benjamin did so, and took them wives according to their number of them that danced, whom they caught, and they went and returned unto their inheritance, and repaired the cities and dwelt in them." So, what a horrible thing. I mean, can you imagine allowing your daughter to go out and dance, and she's abducted by these sodomites, and these perverts, and it's just unbelievable. What just shows the state, it's the book of Judges. If you go down to the next, in verse 25. "In those days there was no king in Israel, and every man did that which was right in his own eyes." So, what a horrible thing. What a picture that is of the modern dance, in the sense now, not of the daughters, it was the daughters dancing out there. But while they're dancing, some wicked, vile eyes are on them and steal them away. That is a picture of the modern dance today, because in the modern dance, you have people that are gathered together, whether it's people in junior high or high school that are dancing at proms and different gatherings. And you have these wicked, vile young men that are watching them, lusting and after immorality with them. So that is a picture of the modern dance of today. And so many times in Scripture here we find that these examples of dancing are not good. They come out with a bad ending. Well, we're out of time for this class today, but next time, Lord willing, we'll look at David. David is going to do a dance, and we'll talk about that, what kind of dance he did, but we're going to look at the results of his dance and see what happened there. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word.